This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Stephanie Officer. A rash of vandalism following a police bust at a party in Los Angeles over the weekend. Just after midnight Sunday, authorities say several businesses, metro trains, and a police vehicle were damaged by an unruly crowd refusing to leave an alleged unpermitted rooftop event at what appeared to be an abandoned building. There were reports of people blocking two trains and spray painting the cars. Officers fired rubber bullets when the crowd refused to leave. Los Angeles Mayor Karen Bass says they are actively searching for those who committed the crimes.
It is unacceptable under any and all circumstances. And those people that perpetrated this have to be held accountable to the full extent of the law.
Authorities estimate more than 300 people were there. The Scripps National Spelling Bee celebrates its 100th anniversary this year. The first bee was held in 1925 when the Louisville Courier-Journal invited other newspapers to host spelling bees, too. This is ABC News. The latest numbers show the West Texas measles outbreak may be slowing down with only 6 new cases reported between May 20th and the 26th. But concerns of the spread still remain.
While the Texas outbreak may be waning,
this is the largest outbreak New Mexico has seen in many years.
Miranda Durham of the New Mexico Department of Health says 78 people have been sickened in her state. One person has died.
We have a highly effective and very safe vaccine that we've been giving for decades.
She's joined her colleagues in Texas in urging the unvaccinated to get the shot. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
In a social media post over the weekend, the deputy director of the FBI, Dan Bongino, says the bureau will give a second look to some recent high-profile unsolved cold cases, including the pipe bombs planted at party headquarters the night before January 6th, the cocaine found at the Biden White House in 2023, and the leak of the Supreme Court's decision to overturn Roe v. Wade in 2022. Stephanie Officer, ABC News.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Richard Trent, the executive director of Main Street Alliance.
This current tax code that they're trying to extend, 80%+ of the benefit goes to the top 1% of earners.
Yes.
I did not misspeak there. This is not a game. Trump will tell you firsthand that he grew up believing there are winners and there are losers. This is an administration actively trying to create a class of losers, and we have to fight back.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Wounded Warrior Project has been there for me since that first day in the hospital. They got me out of the house, they got me connected with other veterans, and they helped me face my PTSD. They support me and my family at every turn. And now I'm helping other warriors realize that they're not alone.
Through our hands-on programs, supportive community, and ongoing advocacy, we help post-9/11 veterans realize what's possible. Learn more at woundedwarriorproject.org/possible.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports Baseball. Game 2 of the 3-game series tonight at AmFam Field between the Brewers and the Boston Red Sox. Jackson Churio got things started early yesterday for the crew. First pitch in the bottom of the first. FanDuel, Wisconsin.
Swing and a drive.
The Brewers went on to win 3-2. Did Churio's leadoff homer set the tone? Pat Murphy.
Yeah, I think it did. I think it always sets a tone when you come out ready and the first hitter that you have kind of makes a statement.
Closer Trevor McGill got out of a jam in the ninth to get the save in front of a sellout crowd of over 40,000 fans. Did that help?
Oh, yeah. I mean, this stadium gets rocking when there's, you know, a bunch of people in it, and definitely felt that. So, I mean, I thoroughly enjoyed pitching here in Milwaukee, and thank you for the fans for coming out.
That's Brewers pitcher Trevor McGill with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Scattered showers, even a rumble of thunder or two possible today, tonight into tomorrow. Won't be a lot of rain, though. Maybe a tenth of an inch or more, a little more in a few spots. Today, mostly cloudy, 68. Tonight, we'll drop down to near 50. Tomorrow, our highs will be in the mid-60s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable.
Matt Nair on Air.
The Joint Finance Committee just had four meetings around the state of Wisconsin. The top three things of concern to people were education, health care, and child care. The Republicans stripped all of those things out of Governor Evers' budget. So I'm thinking about going next time just to make sure that they all put their phones down when I'm talking to them, because I have a feeling they're all playing Candy Crush because they're not paying attention to what people are saying.
Catch Matt Nair on Air at its new time, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Hey, this is Peach Wabba. Hope you're having a safe and happy Memorial Day weekend. We'll be back live to light it up on Tuesday night. In the meantime, enjoy this best of show and have a great night.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Peach Wabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who still likes to build a fort, Peach Wabba.
My guest right now is Bill F. He is the host of Tune In With Me on the MeTV Network. It's on every morning. Syndication, a great show. Bill, how are things going there?
It's going pretty good, Pete. I'm not going to lie to you. We're starting up season 5. We just did our 800th episode, which is amazing.
Whoa.
It's 800 of anything is a lot when you stop and think about it. But we've done 800 hours where, you know, you get to be a kid again. You get to watch Saturday morning cartoons just like when you were a kid. And it's fun and exciting. I love doing it.
So is that basically that's 200 episodes a year. I assume you don't shoot 200 days. Do you break that up? And even if you have to go in for 200 days, that's like teacher days, right? You get some time off.
We don't shoot it in real time. So a lot of days we'll shoot parts of 3 or 4 or 5 different episodes.
Okay.
You know, I know that breaks the fourth wall and it's more than we should be giving out, but it's interesting the way it's done. And it's done for several reasons that way. I don't understand any of them. They've explained it to me. It'd be easier for me to just start at the beginning and end at the end, but they go, no, you can't do it that way. So we do it a different way.
They're trying to protect you from Conrad. Keep your moves kind of covert. You're on another show, Bill, too, on the MeTV network. Are there any shows on MeTV you're not on? And tell us about your new show.
All right, so they added me about a year ago to Svengoolie's show. Now, I've been watching Svengoolie since I was in high school. I never in a million years thought I would be on it even once, much less almost every week. But that's what's happened. I play a character named Nostalgia Feratu, who is an 800-year-old vampire who loves trivia. And it's been a hit with the kids.
That's so cool.
And then there's a third show that's going to start in October that I'm sworn to secrecy about, but I will be on yet a third show on the MeTV network. And they're trying to figure out a way to get me into old episodes of Sea Hunt, but so far that has not happened.
I think 3 shows, you're doing okay. You're like the face of the network.
You know what happens is when you get older, you get a lot uglier and stuff. And I'm like, well, I shouldn't even be on one show, much less 3. But luckily, they've got very poor eyesight there at MeTV, so they let me be on 3 different shows.
You hide their bifocals from them. They keep giving you shows. Bill, how much do you make a year? Let's cut right to the chase.
I make $70 a month, so if I'm doing the math right, it's $840 a year. That's pretty good money.
You had a thing you used to do that I thought was so hilarious. You never liked when people asked you what you made, and it is a personal question. It's like mind your own business, but people, whatever they asked you, whether it was a corporate gig or if you were opening at Zany's, do you remember what you'd tell them?
I can't remember.
You say whatever they say. And I remember this. People had no problem asking you what you made because comedy was so different. How much you make doing that?
Yeah.
And you always said $5,000.
Yeah. That was my price.
I just got to go open a corporate show for 10 minutes. What do you make for something like that? $5,000.
5,000. That's my going rate. If you want me, you got to pay me the 5K. So sometimes I was dead on target, and other times I was off by about $4,980.
Hey, so you're a good Chicago boy. You've been there your whole life. Donahue passed away. I have to be honest, Bill. I thought he was already dead, and I don't mean to be crass.
You know what, Pete? The only thing worse than being dead is having people think that you're dead.
I'd rather be anonymity.
Have everyone assume I'm dead.
But did you know he was a lot? Like, he kind of hasn't done anything since some MSNBC stuff years ago. I really thought he had passed away.
No, I knew he was alive, and I had the pleasure when I was working at one of the Chicago radio stations. He came into town. I don't remember what he was promoting. I want to say for a while he did a podcast with his wife, with Marlo Thomas from That Girl. And right. I think he was in promoting that. And I got to interview him. And he was – I always envisioned him to be a very nice, fair, gentle human being. And he was beyond that. He was so cool. And, like, I was pulling out episodes one by one. I'm going, I know you did. I just bragged about doing 800 episodes. I think he did 8,000 episodes.
How about that?
Of Donahue, of his talk show. But I was pulling out, like, the most obscure moments that I remembered as a kid. Like, for instance, he had Alice Cooper on at the very pinnacle of Alice Cooper's career, when he was one of the hottest guys in rock and roll. And he came on not as Alice Cooper, but as his real self, Vincent Fernier. And he was talking about how he loves to go to church and he loves to golf and stuff. He was the exact opposite of what you'd think from Alice Cooper. But Phil Donahue made it great. He was so perfect.
Yeah, he was something else. It's funny. I don't know if kids – I remember watching him in college, and I don't know that kids now would watch a daytime talk show that wasn't like Jerry Springer or Ricky Lake or, you know, he was like a really – he was a journalist, you know.
Yeah.
It was great.
And a groundbreaker, you know. I know if you read anything about him today, you found out that his very first guest was a woman named Madeline Murray O'Hare, who was a very controversial figure back in the 60s and into the 70s. She was an atheist when it was not a good idea to be an atheist.
Right.
And she'd come on and really challenge everybody's thoughts about religion. And that was his very first guest. And he just ran from there. But it wasn't exploitative like the talk show hosts that followed him. It was just very, as you pointed out, it was very journalistic. He came at it from just the right angle, and boy, was he good.
He was great. I just had one of my friends, Rob Thomas, was on, who writes for the Capital Times in Madison.
Yeah.
He's an entertainment reporter, and we were talking about there was a hoaxer named Alan Abel whose daughter did a documentary about her father, and that's what he did his adult life. He just pulled hoaxes, and one of them was he tried to outlaw breastfeeding. And he got the right all riled up, saying that women have feelings and it's improper when they're breastfeeding. And he got on Tom Brokaw. And
really?
Yes. The documentary is called Abel Raises Cain. And it blew my mind. And he was on Brokaw, and Brokaw's just nodding. And he's throwing this Alan Abel's throwing these facts out there that are just completely made up. And he's like, you know, Tom, the Minnesota Study for Normalcy says that 52% of women who breastfeed. And Brokaw's just nodding along. You can't fact check. There was no Google then.
Right.
And he got on. Anyway, he was on Donahue, and he planted people in the audience when they were doing a thing about older homosexuals. And when these people would start to talk about their relationships, he had people faint in the studio audience.
Oh, no.
Donahue cleared the audience. You know, he cleared the whole studio audience out because he thought something was coming in through the vents or whatever. But just a great documentary if you ever get it. You would really like it.
I would love to see that. All right, I'll watch it with you and Conrad just as a peace offering.
Well, just distract him with the documentary and we'll sneak you out.
You know who else just passed away? I don't know if you've mentioned this. Peter Marshall, the longtime host of Hollywood Squares, died this week.
I saw that. Yeah, I did see that. That was before I don't remember watching. I guess when I was a little kid, he was the host, right? Were you a fan?
I used to love that show. Yeah, I loved it. And every once in a while, they would veer off course. Instead of doing the Hollywood Squares, they did a thing called Storybook Squares, where all the stars dressed like characters from kids' books. And they did it. It was the same rules as Hollywood Squares, but the two contestants were kids instead of adults. And I thought, wow, this is really cool. Nobody was doing stuff like that on TV at the time. So that was a lot of fun.
That's great.
Did you know he, Peter Marshall, is the father of a Chicago Cub? Did you know that?
I'm trying to think who the Cub would be. Marshall.
I will give you a hint. He has one of the most unfortunate names in baseball history.
And his last name is Marshall?
No, actually.
Oh.
He went by his father, Peter Marshall's real first name, not his made-up stage name.
Oh. Who was it?
Pete LeCocq.
I should have guessed that.
Yeah.
I remember as a kid watching baseball and saying, I don't think I'm supposed to be saying that name. It's just the guy's name. Like, you know.
That was his name.
That was his name.
So I still remember, like, when I was a kid and Hollywood Squares were on, the announcer would say, one of these stars is sitting in the secret square, and the contestant who picks it first could win a prize package worth $1,000. But which star is it? George Gobel, Dodie, you know, and he would just go on with all the celebrities and stuff. And as a little kid, I would say it along with the announcer of Hollywood Squares. And now Peter Marshall's dead. So what good did that do anybody?
You did your part.
I tried.
My guest is Bill Leff. He's the host of Tune In With Me every morning on MeTV. Check it out if you haven't. He's also on Svengoolie and a show to be named a TBD title, yeah. Or anonymous. What do they call that?
A show to be named later, but I can't say anything else, Pete.
Okay, that's fair.
I'm making it dangerous.
Will you come back and tell us when the show actually airs?
I would love to. Yeah.
We can watch it when it's on, right?
Yeah, it'll be on in October. Okay. Just set your VCR for people have VCRs, right? Set that for MeTV.
I still have beta. So, Bill, what's your favorite? Have you seen any of the summer movies? What's the best movie you've seen this summer? Do you have one?
Boy, you know what? I was listening to you ask that question, and I thought to myself, I don't know that I've gone. After COVID, I've only seen a handful of movies, and none of them have been great.
Oh, wow. Okay.
It's very disappointing.
Yeah.
You know, I used to go to the movie theater, two or three or four times a week. And now I think I've seen three movies in the last 5 years in theaters. And that's only because they're scary and my wife refuses to go with me.
You like the scary movies?
I love scary movies.
Yeah.
Do you?
A lot of them this summer. You know, I'll be honest. I'm seeing more movies now since I've been hosting the show. And I've seen some scary ones. I'm okay with them. I don't like the really graphic. Like, I don't know. Did you watch The Boys?
No, I didn't see that.
Oh, it's so unbelievably graphic, and it's not
good.
It is good. The writing's good, but I think they go a little too far, where it kind of takes me out of it. But
yeah,
I've seen Maxine and X this summer, and I've seen A Quiet Place. I don't know if those are you're talking about those types.
I would love to see that. I haven't seen that yet.
Yeah, we've got a lot of movies we got to watch together.
Yeah, you just say the word, and I'm there. I will tell you this on a movie related basis. I don't know if your phone does this, but my phone does this thing where it feeds me stories, news stories. Like if I hit the news button, it tells me stories that they think, whoever's running the phone, that I'll be interested in. And right now, this has been going on for 3 weeks now, half of the stories in my news feed are about Blake Lively. And I don't like her and I don't dislike her, but I don't need to know anything else about her. But every day I'm fed 11, 12, 13 stories about Blake Lively and the relationship she didn't have with her co-star in her latest movie. Or why she named her last daughter, what she named her, or why her sisters are all actresses, but we've never seen them in anything. Every single day I get all this stuff. How do I get out of that?
It sounds like you've read quite a few of the articles. I got to be honest.
No, I just read the headline.
Okay.
It tells me in the headline what it's about.
Can't you click the little button that said hear less about this or kill notifications for this kind of thing?
I'm just going to bury my phone in the yard or something.
They'll still find you.
Oh, they will?
They'll still find you, Bill.
They're relentless.
Hey, what would it take? All right. What would it take you right now for you to go on the road like you did in the early 90s and let's say be the middle act for some road headliner in a city like Rockford or Akron?
Yeah.
Would you do that?
I would do it. I would be glad to do it, but my asking price, Pete, is $5,000. So if they can meet that, I'd be more than happy to do it.
I think they're going to give you summer money right now, so you might want to wait a couple months.
I'll wait until like October or November then and get my full share.
Okay, fair enough.
All right, I would do it with you. If you went on a barnstorming tour, I think I might do it with you.
That's how I am. If someone calls or a friend of mine says, hey, I'm doing a gig, will you open or whatever, I always do it. We'll be right back with more with Tune in with me, MeTV's Bill Leff. This is Nightlight with Peach Wappa.
Yeah! Oh, we got some places to see.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
School sports are played by humans, coached by humans, and officiated by humans. So the next time you're sitting in the stands at a school athletic event, please remember this and maintain your humanity, especially when it comes to judging and critiquing athletes, coaches, and officials. Please show your fellow humans some respect. They'll appreciate your empathy.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Last week, I asked if if me swallowing like 100 mayflies on a walk breaks a fast, because I was doing intermittent fasting. 0.008 calories per fly.
You are breaking a fast, though.
Probably.
It's not zero.
It's not zero calories.
So you did.
Well, that really sucks. I mean, don't get me wrong. They tasted good.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Richard Trent, the executive director of Main Street Alliance.
This current tax code that they're trying to extend, 80%+ of the benefit goes to the top 1% of earners.
Yes.
I did not misspeak there. This is not a game. Trump will tell you firsthand that he grew up believing there are winners and there are losers. This is an administration actively trying to create a class of losers, and we have to fight back.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Hey, this is Peach Wabba. Hope you're having a safe and happy Memorial Day weekend. We'll be back live to light it up on Tuesday night. In the meantime, enjoy this best of show and have a great night.
You're just too good to be true. Can't take my eyes off you. You'd be like heaven to touch.
Tune in with me on every morning on the MeTV Network. It's a great show, especially if you have kids. You watch some Bugs Bunny cartoons, then Bill says funny things. It's just a great... Bill, whoever thought of that, I mean, it's just a brilliant idea.
Yes, it was Prince Charles whose idea it was.
And he wanted no piece of the action.
Monarch, but he wanted what?
He wanted no piece of the action. He didn't say, I want a taste. He just is a good guy who wanted people to be entertained.
He loves Chilly Willy cartoons. I had no idea. He called me up out of the blue one day and he goes, would you host a show where you show Looney Tunes, Wile E. Coyote, you know, Chilly Willy? And I'm like, you're Prince Charles. Yes, absolutely. I would. Yes. All right. Now I'm going to take your question about summer movie and I'm going to add Dolly Parton to the mix because it is Dolly Parton's birthday.
Yeah.
What is your all-time favorite Dolly Parton movie, Pete?
Oh, you know, one of our listeners is a huge Dolly Parton fan. She says Best Little Whorehouse in Texas. I would probably agree with that because I remember liking it, but I don't know a lot of her movies, I have to be honest. So I'd probably say that one.
Well, I know a lot of people would take 9 to 5.
Oh, yeah.
For me, it's, and I think you'll agree with me on this, her greatest movie ever was Godfather 2. I thought she was so good in Godfather 2.
Who did she play in that, Bill?
She was Hyman Roth. One of the other Dons. He was out in Florida.
Yeah.
Michael Corleone came to see Hyman Roth. That was Dolly Parton.
And nobody knew that.
You don't even realize it because she's so good.
God, she's just that good. That's incredible. I kind of forgot about that, honestly.
Yeah,
you know what I liked
amazing.
Her in? The Longest Yard. Did you see her play quarterback?
Oh, God, yeah. She's so good in that, too. She was so good in that. Did you ever see Das Boot with Dolly Parton?
She's like Tom Hanks. She's been in everything.
She's been in everything. And because she's such a chameleon, you just accept it. You go, all right, whatever you got, let me see.
You know what
she's
I think
so good.
What is so funny, Bill? Like, I've known you, like, what would we say, for 30 years or whatever. I don't think I've ever had a real conversation with you. Like, even in our emails, Bill, okay, everyone listening, Bill started calling me Debs. Just a cute housewife nickname, Debs. How are you doing? Yeah. Yes, I'd like to be on your show. And I, you know, I got to come up with something to match, try to match what's with Bill. So I said, you know, you should rename, you should call yourself Built. Like, if you ever start lifting weights, Built Left or Built Left, if that could work too. But so the last few email exchanges, it's like, Debs, yes, got the information, looking forward to it. Okay, thanks, Built.
Like, you know why, Pete? I've always thought if you're going to do something really stupid, why not commit to go all the way, right?
Yes.
Now your invitation to go on the road reminded me of something, and I don't know if I've ever told you this. When I did stand-up, there were certain guys I loved to work with, you being way up on the high end of that list, because you always wanted to find somebody that was really funny, hopefully really clean, very original, you know, and you certainly fit that bill. But another guy that I used to bring with me, like when I started headlining, and I go, oh, this guy's so funny, is our friend Mike Siegel. You know,
who was
in a movie that I think you wrote and directed.
He did have a part in the Godfather of Green Bay. That's correct. He was also in Traffic. Yeah.
He's had a very nice career. So one time, and if I've told you this, I'll just tell you the quick version. But we were working together in Kansas City. And, you know, whenever you go to a new club that you've never worked before, they always want you to come in early the first day so they can get to meet you and tell you what the club rules are. Sometimes they'll post the club rules somewhere. So at this club in Kansas City, in the green room, they had a list of the 10 rules of the club. And they all made sense but one. Like, it started out, it said, you must get here 20 minutes before showtime. If you're a comic on the show, you're entitled to 2 free drinks. If you want a third, it's half off. And it was all stuff like right. that. But the number 10 rule on this club in Kansas City was absolutely no Vegas walking.
Come on.
So Mike and I we read this, and the owner of the club is there with us, and I say, how firm are you on your no Vegas walking rule? And he goes, well, pretty firm. He goes, I want to say that if you do it once, we'll have a talk about it. If you do it twice, the week is over. I can't use you if you're going to Vegas walk. So Mike goes, what if the crowd wants us to Vegas walk? He goes, no, it doesn't matter what the crowd wants. This is a professional club. There will be no Vegas walking. And I say, what if you start out Vegas walking, but then you look at the audience like, I got you. I'm not going to Vegas walk. He goes, guys, I can't stress this enough. You cannot Vegas walk in this club. I don't know where else you work. We don't allow it. All right, so that was about 25 years ago. To this day, Pete, I have no idea what Vegas walking is. I don't know if I ever did it by accident. I just know that in Kansas City, you better not do it.
I thought you were going to say, like, so we decided to Vegas walk and then, like, kind of sashayed into a foxtrot or something, you know. That's funny. Oh, my gosh. What is that?
And like, I don't know what it means. I have no idea. And I know I could probably Google it, but I'd rather spend the rest of my life not knowing.
Maybe it's like James Caan when he kind of puts his shoulders back and puts his chest out, maybe.
Could be it, but why would he be so adamant that nobody do it? What is he losing in that?
Yeah, because it's kind of cool.
I just thought maybe, this is in the back of my imagination, maybe it means getting up and just really taking your time getting to the stage, maybe playing a hand or two of blackjack on the way, you know, seeing a show.
Wearing sunglasses.
Liza.
Yeah, right.
Sunglasses.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Bill, that's funny. Thank you. I thought you were going to say Mike Siegel tried to kill you. But I'm glad you didn't say that.
Well, Mike Siegel would be a protector
True.
If Conrad ever does what he says he's going to do.
And you don't want to mess with Mike.
I don't want to mess with Mike Siegel.
He'll Vegas walk your ass right into the... That is
he's
so...
done it before.
Have you ever Googled that? You should Google that. Maybe it's like a thing.
I don't want to know.
You don't want to know. I'll Google it.
It's so much better not to know, isn't it?
I agree. Bill, thanks so much. This is so fun.
Thanks, Pete.
Happy
Debs. Dolly Parton's birthday to you and Debs. You, Conrad. I hope you love me one day.
I'll keep him away from you. I'll set a screen and roll.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Bill. Have a great night.
Bye, guys.
Check out MeTV and tune in with me every morning. Phil's so funny. He's the host.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Stephanie Officer. A rash of vandalism following a police bust at a party in Los Angeles over the weekend. Just after midnight Sunday, authorities say several businesses, metro trains, and a police vehicle were damaged by an unruly crowd refusing to leave an alleged unpermitted rooftop event at what appeared to be an abandoned building. There were reports of people blocking two trains and spray painting the cars. Officers fired rubber bullets when the crowd refused to leave. Los Angeles Mayor Karen Bass says they are actively searching for those who committed the crimes.
It is unacceptable under any and all circumstances. And those people that perpetrated this have to be held accountable to the full extent of the law.
Authorities estimate more than 300 people were there. The Scripps National Spelling Bee celebrates its 100th anniversary this year. The first bee was held in 1925 when the Louisville Courier-Journal invited other newspapers to host spelling bees, too. This is ABC News.
The Brewers host the Red Sox. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports Baseball. Game 2 of the 3-game series tonight at AmFam Field between the Brewers and the Boston Red Sox. Jackson Churio got things started early yesterday for the crew. First pitch in the bottom of the first. FanDuel, Wisconsin.
Swing and a drive! Deep left center! Welcome to Memorial Day!
The Brewers went on to win 3-2. Did Churio's leadoff homer set the tone? Pat Murphy.
Yeah, I think it did. I think it always sets a tone when you come out ready and the first hitter that you have kind of makes a statement.
Closer Trevor McGill got out of a jam in the ninth to get the save in front of a sellout crowd of over 40,000 fans. Did that help?
Oh, yeah. I mean, this stadium gets rocking when there's, you know, a bunch of people in it, and definitely felt that. So, I mean, I thoroughly enjoyed pitching here in Milwaukee, and thank you for the fans for coming out.
That's Brewers pitcher Trevor McGill with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Peach Wabba. George Wendt passed away earlier this week. Most people know him as Norm from Cheers, where he spent 11 seasons and was the only cast member, including Ted Danson, to appear in all 275 episodes. In addition to Cheers, his credits include Fletch, Airplane 2, Outside Providence, and of course, Bob Swirsky, one of the Chicago superfans. Here are a couple fun facts about George Wendt. He got his start in Chicago at Second City, but his first job there was sweeping floors. He's actually the uncle to Ted Lasso himself, Jason Sudeikis. Here are some fun Norm lines to remember George Wendt by.
What's shaking, Norm?
All four cheeks and a couple of chins, Coach.
Hey, what's happening, Norm?
It's a dog-eat-dog world, Sammy, and I'm wearing milk-bone underwear.
For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Scattered showers, even a rumble of thunder or two possible today, tonight into tomorrow. Won't be a lot of rain, though. Maybe a tenth of an inch or more, a little more in a few spots. Today, mostly cloudy, 68. Tonight, we'll drop down to near 50. Tomorrow, our highs will be in the mid-60s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Hans Breitenmoser, we have people in Congress right now cutting food assistance.
All of it is a disregard for how the economy actually works. When you plant seeds in the ground, you get money close to the ground. That's what makes rural economies work. Urban economies are very similar in that regard. Washington is only as good as its participants, and we've got some real dandies there these days.
That's definitely one way to put it.
Catch Mornings with Pat Kreitlow at its new time, weekdays 6 to 9 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Matt Nair on air.
The Joint Finance Committee just had 4 meetings around the state of Wisconsin. The top 3 things of concern to people were education, health care, and child care. The Republicans stripped all of those things out of Governor Evers' budget. So I'm thinking about going next time just to make sure that they all put their phones down when I'm talking to them, because I have a feeling they're all playing Candy Crush because they're not paying attention to what people are saying.
Catch Matt Nair on air at its new time, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Hey, this is Peach Wobba. Hope you're having a safe and happy Memorial Day weekend. We'll be back live to light it up on Tuesday night. In the meantime, enjoy this best of show and have a great night. Great to have you with me tonight, folks, on this Monday night. Finally, a warm and sunny night here in the state of Wisconsin. This is Nightlight. I am Pete Schwabba, and I just wanted to shout out some good words to some of my colleagues here at Civic Media. The Wisconsin Broadcast Association Awards were this past weekend. Congrats to Brittany Merlot, the Snow Queen, bringing home three awards. That's incredible. Maggie Dawn won Best Radio Show. Todd Alba, Best Feature, I think, or Best Special. Mino and the Mayor, they were like, what, second or third radio show?
Second, yeah.
That's really cool here in Northeast Wisconsin. Jane and Greg won a Best Feature Award. Amanda Nimmer, Best Social Media, right here at WGBW, WISS, part of the team. And Todd Alba and yourself for producing. You've been involved with Mino and the Mayor.
Yeah.
Not in a weird way. I mean, producing your show.
Yeah.
And they owe you a debt of gratitude.
Yes.
So congratulations to all the awards taken home by Civic Media the other day. Very cool stuff. All right. So keep those texts coming, folks. The question of the night is, what is your favorite teen movie? This was inspired by my friend Mike Siegel, who is about to join us. He sent me a picture of Damone a couple weeks ago, and all I have to do is look at that guy, and I hear his voice, and I hear his lines from Fast Times at Ridgemont High, and I think about him selling concert tickets on the down low, and I thought, we need to talk about teen movies. So it is my pleasure to welcome now to Nightlight a guy who's no stranger to our airwaves. He is the host of the Travel Tales podcast, a very funny comedian and TV host as well, my pal Mike Siegel. Hey, Mike.
Hi, Pete. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I was fascinated by that story of the mice drinking the wine. That's good stuff there, buddy.
That's money well spent. We needed to know that, Mike. We needed to know that. Those are fun to write.
I bet.
How are you, buddy?
I'm good. I'm in town for a little while, so that's kind of nice. So I'm usually, you know, flying this way or that way, or performing on a cruise ship or doing something. So it's nice to kind of like chill for a little bit, although it's kind of I don't know if you remember from your days in L.A., this is the May gray time of year.
Yeah.
When it's, kind of it's cloudy. It doesn't rain, but it's just gray and cool.
Well, your gray period is a lot shorter there than here. So I no sympathy for you, Mike. Where were you? Were you on a cruise or just traveling and enlightening yourself as you often do?
Well, a little bit of both. I combined one. I did a ship in February. And it left me off. It dropped me off in Rio de Janeiro, and I looked on the, I looked at the dates, and it was the first week of March actually, and I went, wait a minute, I know that's really close to Mardi Gras time, and it was like 2 days before Fat Tuesday, so it's like, wait a minute, I'm just gonna stay here for a few days and see this, and that was pretty amazing. I'd been to Rio before, but never during Carnival, and it was pretty nuts.
It just seems like an absolute spectacle, but like something you'd want to be alone at. You don't want to take your family, the wife and kids, or even the girlfriend. It seems like you just want to walk around yourself and absorb everything.
I did do that. But on the other side, it would have been a lot more fun in my 20s, I have a feeling.
Oh, yeah, right.
It's one of those things where I was an observer, and I think back then I would have been more of a participant.
Yeah,
but I was pretty good to stand back and watch the spectacle rather than be the spectacle these days.
Rather than be the guy running around in a jockstrap and clogs and just
exactly
waving your arms around because you're so happy it's Fat Tuesday.
Well, I talk about it, and every time I go to a town, especially a city where it can be kind of rough, I never want to stand out as a tourist, so I always try to try to fit in. And I knew 2 minutes into walking on the street in Rio that I was not going to fit in, mostly because the way I was dressed, because I was wearing clothes and they're not that big into that.
You have the khakis on and the cardigan. Hey, who's the stiff?
I was wearing shorts and a t-shirt. They asked me if I was going to a wedding.
That is fantastic. What do you ever like get sound bites when you're at these places, Mike, for your podcast, or do you play stuff, or do you interview people where you are as opposed to just people who can talk about travel?
I do sometimes, like especially on the ships, and you know, I've interviewed a bunch of like my fellow performers or some of the cruise directors and things like that. But yeah. Something on the street like that is just so insane, and the audio is terrible, and you know, some of these places you don't want to be walking around with anything expensive looking sound equipment or good microphone or something. Well, I mean, pickpockets and street crime, and that can be
it's that bad, huh?
It depends on where you are, of course. Yeah. You know, I mean, I took the train there in the metro in Rio and it was fine. But then again, during Carnival, there was a heavy police presence and, you know, so many tourists that they're on the lookout for stuff like that. But I did ask one of these guides of, where I was, going to the Samba parade. I was going to take the train in the middle of the night and he's like, the stop you got to get off of there, we wouldn't recommend it.
Oh, really?
And I was like, okay. So
wow.
I erred on the side of caution. I probably would have been fine, but you know, hey, I'll spend the extra dough there.
Yeah. Have you ever been pickpocketed either when traveling somewhere or even like in Chicago or LA, or you ever been pickpocketed?
You know, knock on wood, I'm uber careful now, but I have, I've been in some places where, I mean, certain cities, you know, I've known so many people and interviewed so many people that have gotten, you know, stuff stolen, like in Barcelona, it's very common. Mm. Usually on mass transit, you got to really be careful. And the beaches too, like people lying out on the beach and like they go into the water and there's somebody, or even like lying in the sun with their eyes closed. Somebody just walked by, snatched something.
The wallet and the shoe. They'll never figure that out.
But whereas opposed to, you know, America, they're afraid of coming here because the crime is less street crime, but more violent crime.
Okay. Right.
Know? So, you know, guns and things. That's whatever the world is scared of. That's what I'm scared of here.
Sure. I don't think I've never been pickpocketed. I think if I were to be pickpocketed, I'd hope they'd be bad at it and just keep their hand in my pocket.
Oh, he's wearing boxing gloves.
Giggity,
he's
like, giggity, sir, giggity. Yeah. Yeah. Boxing gloves.
Like, you're doing this all wrong, sir. You gotta take off the gloves.
My guest is Mike Siegel. He's the host of the Travel Tales podcast and a TV personality and a very funny stand-up comedian. Mike, let's talk about, like I mentioned when I brought you on the show, this whole subject talk tonight was inspired by the picture you sent me of Damone.
Oh, right. It's
one of the greatest, you know, not even a lead character, like a secondary character, but made such an impression in that movie and was so great.
Oh, yeah. And it was one of those things where it's like that came out. I think I was a freshman between my freshman and sophomore year in high school. So it was like hit me right in the wheelhouse. You know what I mean?
Right.
It was like I was like, is this what high school's going to be?
Yeah.
You know, I just thought it was.
I think, too, like what's so funny is like I never used drugs, but I always laugh the hardest at the drug kids, like
Spicoli,
those kind. Like I remember a kid coming in late. We had to go to daily mass because it was a Catholic school. We'd go to daily mass, and this guy walks in. This kid, this eighth grader, walks in like 20 minutes late, and the priest looks at him and he goes, "Where were you, Dave?" And he stands there. I swear to God, he stands there for like 10 seconds. He just goes, "I was late." And I'm just like
that's perfect.
It's perfect, and it's just. It cracks me up. So there's a whole cast of those characters in Fast Times at Ridgemont High, including Spicoli is the highlight of that. But whatever happened to Damone? I know I would see him at the grocery store sometimes. I can't even think of the actor's name at the moment. I can look it up. But
Richard Ramanis. He actually owned for a while in your neck of the woods over there. I think maybe it was on Cahuenga. He owned a coffee house for a little while.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was like in a little espresso, something like Bob's Espresso or something like that.
Kidding.
Or Robert Romanus, I think is his name.
Robert Romanus,
And he would pop up. I remember seeing him in a Sopranos episode as well.
Oh, no kidding.
So every so often he'd pop up in some kind of episodic TV thing. And I was like, but, you know, he'll always be Damone. It was like, is that Damone playing a lawyer? Right. What's he doing?
Right. He'd top off your coffee and try to sell you Lynyrd Skynyrd tickets or something.
Oh my God. How many people must have, oh God. He has to answer to that every day, right?
Every day. And you're right. He like the sad thing is, like, if you're the Fonz or some huge role where you cashed in on and you became a very rich person, he's a minor role on this movie, and he didn't cash in on that. Like, how, maybe he can go to festivals or like conventions, but yeah, he's got to make a living, you know.
Ratner, same thing. I think he finally left acting.
Oh, did
you
he
know
really?
After you know Mark the Rat Ratner, he was like by the 90s, he was you know, he was out of it.
I just figured he would have gone full time at the movie theater, but maybe that.
You get to wear a nice tux. It's all right.
He was great too in the movie, though. Like, those guys, they were all fantastic. All right, so let's talk about this. So what is your favorite scene from the movie, Mike? And I know we're going to give each other a little quiz. I do have a couple questions prepared for you that are like little mini trivia questions. But let's talk about the movie first. Like, do you have a favorite scene in the film?
Well, one of them is definitely, I mean, I don't know what I can say on the radio or not.
Use your best judgment. No, okay. No F or S bombs, please.
Well, when, you know, Spicoli's in the, he comes in late.
Yeah.
And again, like Dave-esque, you know, is like, I think Mr. Hand comes down on him, you know, and tears up his thing and tells him to go down to the, principal's office. Right. I don't know. Can I say it?
I don't think we can say the D word. Can we? No, we okay. can't. You could substitute it with the P word for that body part, I think.
Well, but he just stared at him and just yeah. let him have it
right
just right in his grill.
You
and it just
blank
like,
yeah.
And it was the dream of every kid in high school to be able to do that to their worst teacher.
And he didn't care. I mean, it was just like and when he says like there's a full crowd scene down by the vending machines, like that's just your world. Yeah. When you're that, he's like, I can't go to class, look at this action down here.
By the way, when the guy in your class came in stoned and you said his name was Dave, I thought he was going to go into the whole Cheech and Chong bit. Dave's not here, man.
No.
Which would have been his only better answer right. that he gave.
Yeah, I would have had some respect for him if he had done it. Do you have a favorite character from Fast Times?
I got to go with you. I got to go with Damone. Like, he steals it, man. He really does. Oh, Sean Penn, of course. But
yeah,
Damone
Sean,
really
Penn, Sean Penn's
it.
Kind of like, you just accept he's the best character.
Yeah.
Separate of that, and I love Judge Reinhold in it, but I would probably have to say Damone too, just because of he makes the most of his on-camera time, and he's so great. But I would have to say Spicoli. I would still, like, as great as an actor as Sean Penn is, that's one of his best. He's phenomenal.
He still has, right? He hasn't topped it. Oscar or no Oscar, he still hasn't topped it.
Exactly. Although I did like him. I loved Sean Penn in Bad Boys. Did you ever see that movie?
Yes. He's great in
he's
everything.
He's awesome in it.
He's great in everything.
But, what about
no Ratner career for him?
Yeah, no, he ran. But that's a role you would think it would be hard to overcome too. Spicoli is very yes. iconic, and like he didn't even like think twice. He was already in all these other movies and At Close Range and Bad Boys and all these. So that's pretty impressive that he was able.
Well,
to
he had, you know he had been on Broadway. It was either before that. I don't know if you saw the Val Kilmer documentary, but he was
great
on
documentary. Yeah.
Did a play with Val Kilmer and I think Kevin Bacon and. On Broadway. So, I mean, he'd been around,
yeah,
you know, he was established as an actor, and he made it clear, you know, he wanted to do dramas after that and he didn't right. want to be pegged.
Great stuff. That, all right. We will, we'll dig a little deeper into Fast Times when we come back. I'm going to give Mike a quick, trivia quiz on the film, and he can certainly do that to me if you have something prepared, Mike. Otherwise, no worries.
Oh, I do.
Oh, fantastic.
I don't know if I'll stump you, Pete,
challenge
but I'm going to try.
Accepted. All right, we're coming right back. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Farm Rescue makes sure that you aren't alone. They're there to extend the hand and to take the burden.
Even the most independent farmers need help sometimes, and asking for that help is protecting the future. Farm Rescue provides equipment and volunteers free of charge to assist in times of crisis. We're currently accepting applications for planting and haying assistance. If you or someone you know could use our help, call 701-252-2017 or visit farmrescue.org.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Last week, I asked if if me swallowing like 100 mayflies on a walk breaks a fast, because I was doing intermittent fasting. 0.008 calories per fly.
You are breaking a fast, though.
Probably.
It's not zero.
It's not zero calories.
So you did.
Well, that really sucks. I mean, don't get me wrong. They tasted good.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Richard Trent, the executive director of Main Street Alliance.
This current tax code that they're trying to extend, 80%+ of the benefit goes to the top 1% of earners.
Yes.
I did not misspeak there. This is not a game. Trump will tell you firsthand that he grew up believing there are winners and there are losers. This is an administration actively trying to create a class of losers, and we have to fight back.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Every 15 seconds, someone is diagnosed with cancer. If it's happened to you or someone you love, the American Cancer Society can help at every step of the journey. Visit cancer.org today.
Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on wrce.fm/contest-terms. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Hey, this is Peach Wabba. Hope you're having a safe and happy Memorial Day weekend. We'll be back live to light it up on Tuesday night. In the meantime, enjoy this best of show and have a great night. Welcome back to Nightlight. I am your loyal host, Pete Schwabba. Conrad is riding shotgun. And there's a great text we got. The question of the night is, what is your favorite teen movie? From the 920, Rain says 3 O'Clock High was fun. I forgot about that movie, but that was a great movie.
That one was pretty good, yeah. I mean, that one didn't get a lot of publicity, though. We were like, so you and I are around the same age, so we all got, like, the same. We were in the John Hughes land, you know, so he kind of dominated that whole scene, but there was a lot of product there. But it's always interesting to see how each generation has their own high school movie. Like, People After Us, there was like Clueless, and then American Pie was like a huge one in the 90s for people.
Super Bad was another great one.
Yeah. And I don't know you have kids. I don't know. Do they have one that they really...
Yeah, it's interesting because I think that the truly great ones do stand the test of time. Just during the break, Conrad was saying he watched Fast Times about 4 months ago, loved it. My son Joe, basically the same age, loved Superbad, which came out when he was a baby, basically. But he also loves Fast Times. Like, I think you can – a great movie is a great movie, you know, regardless of its aesthetics, I guess. But, yeah, I agree with you about 3 O'Clock High. Paula, Conrad's mom checks in and says – all of the Back to the Future movies. Yeah, great films. Great films. Monica from Mount Horeb from the 608. She says, one more hysterical movie that hasn't been mentioned, Good Burger. I never saw Good Burger. Is that
Kenan
Thompson?
For me. Yeah, Kenan and Kel.
He's so
funny. They were like, if you grew up Nickelodeon or whatever they were on, they were big stars, big.
That one slipped through the cracks. Mike and I, Mike Siegel, that is the voice of Mike Siegel, the host of the Travel Tales podcast. Check out his podcast. It's fantastic. And he's also a very funny comedian and TV host as well. And we are both, We go back a long way, but we're both huge fans of the film Dazed and Confused. And Mike, I was looking at all the cameos. Like, one of them is going to be a question I ask you, but even actors like this, I think it's David Chiarelli was the, he was the teacher that pulled the heart out or whatever.
Oh, you're talking to, oh, okay. You said Dazed and Confused.
I'm sorry.
So that's why.
Oh, I'm sorry. Fast Times. Vincent Chiarelli.
Chiarelli.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he's
that's one of my questions for you.
Oh, okay.
Are we going to ask the questions? You want me to quiz you?
Let's start. But I do want to say that I, one of my favorite Spicoli lines is when he's getting on the bus and he knows they're going to look at cadavers. And Chiarelli says, are you in this class? And he goes, I am today. So great. Yeah, let's do our quizzes. Do you want to go first or you want me to go first?
I'll go. I'll ask you one. And this one, this has relate to Vincent Chiarelli, that that character actor. Always a weird looking dude, and he pops up in a million films.
He's great.
But he was a science teacher at Fast Times. Do you remember his character's name?
Oh, man. No, I don't. Well,
can't
I
remember. Can't pull it.
I'm looking at it right now because I have IMDb Pro open. So
oh,
that
okay.
would be cheating, but I wouldn't have guessed it.
Mr. Vargas.
Mr. Vargas.
That's Mr. Vargas.
Yes. Damn, that's a good one. See, I wanted you to
second,
challenge me. I wanted
before,
to.
Okay, yeah. take the IMDb away.
Okay.
Don't look.
I'm going off.
Okay. Do you know at the end of the? Oops, sorry, you're breaking up a little bit.
Oh, there, I got you now. Okay, do I know the end of is all I heard?
No, do you know at the end during the dance who played the actress who played his wife?
Good God, these are, you are doing a deep, no, I don't.
But there's a reason I'm asking this.
All right. Should I?
Well, it got note later on, like 20 years later, because her name was Lana Clarkson, and that was the woman who died in Phil Spector's house, who he supposedly killed.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
Yeah.
I never would have got that.
And I wouldn't have either until, you know, when she unfortunately, you know, was the victim of this. That they kept pulling that scene, you know, in her basically obituary.
She put, so
she was a, you know, she played, you know, the hot blonde in all these B movies.
Yeah.
In the 80s. And that was like one of the bigger films she was in.
That's
so,
awful.
Yeah, that's a little obscure tidbit. I didn't know if you'd get that one.
I would not. Have, and Joseph on the stream just said, and the science teacher showed up with his supermodel wife at the dance. So
yeah,
thinking along the
and
same
that's who that was.
All right. I'm 0-2. Let's just keep going with your questions. Well, maybe we'll get to mine after the news because I got to redeem myself here.
Okay. The song playing in the dugout when Jennifer Jason leaves.
Somebody's Baby, Jackson
story.
Brown.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Great.
That's
movie.
Timely because I literally just saw him play that at a festival yesterday.
Oh, get out of here. You know what's so funny, Mike? I don't know if you remember this. We used to do comic softball in Encino for a while back in the early 2000s. And
yes,
those fields, that was those fields. I remember looking at the dugouts going, which dugout was it? Like, that's one of the fun things about living in LA. Was that the scene where Jennifer Jason Leigh lost her virginity to the Jackson Brown song, you know?
So absolutely.
Great. All right.
So that you got that one. That's pretty good.
Yeah,
I had a couple
for
more.
Three. Okay.
Do you remember, this is an easier one. Do you remember the name of the burger place that Judge Reinhold was fired from?
I think I have that same question for you. Yes, I do. All-American Burger.
All-American Burger.
Great.
Whose rules are? No,
no shirt. No shoes. No dice.
No dice.
All right. I'm 2-for-4. I'm coming back. How are we doing on time, Conrad? We got about a minute. Okay.
Do I have another one? Let's see. Oh, okay. I have one last one. Ready?
Yep, you bet.
Okay. What band does Jefferson ask Damone tickets for?
Oh.
He wants to take his little brother.
Cheap Trick.
No.
What?
Jefferson, the football player, wants these.
Oh. Jefferson Airplane? Jefferson Starship? You said Jefferson. Oh, Jefferson.
Jefferson is the football player.
I need help.
Earth, Wind, and Fire. two Earth, Wind, and Fire tickets for Jefferson and Little Brother. He writes it down.
Those are the tickets I'd want. All right, Mike Siegel is here, folks. We're coming right back after intermission here, where Civic Media's news team will keep you informed. And I'm going to give Mike my Fast Times quiz. Chime in your favorite line, favorite scene, share it with us. Be part of the show. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. A deadly incident during a victory parade in Liverpool, England. Fans celebrating their city's Premier League soccer championship when police say 53-year-old men plowed into the crowd. More than 45 people were injured, four seriously. ABC's Ian Pannell.
The police very clearly saying that at this point in time, they don't believe that it was terrorism. They don't believe anyone else was involved in this. I guess the key questions for them now is what led up to this in the first place? What was the trigger if indeed this wasn't a deliberate attack, as appears to be the case right now?
King Charles is in Canada to open Parliament. His visit widely viewed as a show of support in the face of continued threats by President Trump to try to make Canada the 51st state. A former police chief in a small Arkansas town on the run after escaping from prison where he was serving time for rape and murder. Three more of the 10 Louisiana escaped inmates now found. Two more still on the loose. This is ABC News.